Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, our guest today is Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary School. Dr. Jones, welcome to the show. How's your summer going?
Having a great summer. Thank you for asking. Lots of sunshine and water. That's what we need in the summertime.
You know, it's hard to believe, but it's like, less than a month away now that you'll have registration day, 10 a.m. dismissal, and a little over a month will be the first day of school.
Exciting to see all the kids again. We miss them in the summertime.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a principal, I mean, I know just from, you know, my position, there's not as much energy in the county when school's not in session. I mean, you just don't have that electricity generating through the schools and mm-hmm. you know, you see kids and all the activities and everything. I mean, I guess you got to have your downtime, but I would miss the kids too.
Yeah, there's excitement with ending a school year and looking forward to summer, and then there's excitement ending the summer and starting the school year.
So now, what does a principal of an elementary school do during the summer?
Well, this summer we've developed class roles, schedule, need to make some changes, you know, for improvement. We look at our data and we see ways to improve what's happening within the school. The cleaning company is busy waxing floors. We empty all the furniture out of the classrooms, and they strip the floors and wax the floors. And then at Prescott this summer, we've had SAC, so I still get to see some kiddos' faces, which is nice.
That's good.
Yes, and our SAC staff is amazing, so it's been really nice to know that all those kids are in good hands, and they're all happy and smiling and having a good time. And then now we're starting to get ready for the startup. So, you know, what's coming and when are we – good training for teachers. We want to make sure we start the school off on the right foot. And so we're planning some excellent professional development for the teachers. Lots to be excited about.
Well, I know the first in-service day is July 25th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So do you meet with teachers? Are there meetings going on prior to that? Or is that when you really see everybody back is on that in-service day?
A little bit of both. We meet with some teacher leaders to try to develop effective training. Mm-hmm. And so we're meeting with academic coaches and teacher leaders. And then on the 25th, we meet with two other schools. They're called our sister schools. Mm-hmm. So we are going to train with Capshaw Elementary and Northeast Elementary and
great.
Prescott.
Yeah.
And we meet and do a full day of reading and math training with those two schools, and then we're doing a second day with those two sister schools, and then we'll have one day of school-based training.
Wow. So there's a lot going on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Lot to plan.
Well,
it's exciting.
During this time, did you have a chance to take a vacation?
Yes. Yes. I was fortunate. My husband and I recently bought a sailboat in Rhode Island, and so we sailed from Rhode Island around down the East Coast to Key West, and then up the Gulf Coast, and the boat is living in Pensacola, Florida.
Is that right?
Yes, lifetime adventure. It was fantastic.
That is awesome. Now, how long did that take?
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yep, it was about 2.5 weeks, and then we dropped off some crew, picked up some crew. It was all family and friends, and got the boat where it needed to be, thanks to the weather and the talent of my husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he a sailor? I mean,
he is a sailor. He's been raised sailing his whole life. He was born in Canada and lived in Michigan and New Hampshire before relocating to Tennessee with his family.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law is 89 and a half, and he joined us from St. Pete to Pensacola. So
that's awesome.
A nice little treat.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably not one of these things that you just pick up and, hey, we're going to buy a sailboat, and then we're just going to sail. You got to have a little expertise about it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Anything dealing with water is safety related. And I'm definitely crew. I'm not a captain on a boat, but I enjoy it. I started in my 30s with my husband's family, Steve Jones. He works in local Spanky's.
Yeah.
And he's just offered me a lot of adventure. So it's been great.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room because, I mean, we got to address this.
Sure.
It's the construction around Prescott. Oh, my gosh. I mean, how do you get to the school now?
Well, we're deciding right now. The elementary school we can get to off West Cemetery, and you can use West Cemetery. There's a road that kind of goes behind where what we would call the sibling and the pre-K daycare drop-off, mm-hmm. and then the bus loop. So right now we're using that to if people need to access the middle school. And then Tara Brooks and I are meeting with Ron Chaffin next week to see – what our emergency plans will be in case the entrance to Prescott's not open yet at the middle school. We'll figure something out for sure.
Yeah, drove by there yesterday, and it doesn't look like anytime soon that that's going to be an interest. But, you know, you got a month.
TDOT, they have their plans, and I know that they'll do all they can to get it complete, but school's going to start, so we need a plan in place in case. You know,
absolutely.
What if there's weather? What if their materials don't come in, or, you know, whatever can happen with projects? We all know projects are projects. Sometimes they meet the timeline and sometimes they don't. So it'll be fine. We'll work it out.
Yeah. And it's not just the parking or the entrance, but with the construction comes turning off the water. There's electrical issues. I mean, all these other things that you have to be ready for that probably during a school year, it may not even affect you.
Yes, we've had a few minor power outages where they were due to the project, to the construction project. But overall, it's been a good partnership. You make do.
Yeah. Everybody, and it's going to be great when it's finished.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're fortunate to live in a forward-moving community where they want to make it nicer. So it's good.
Well, now let's look back at the last school year, and when you look back, what are some of the things that you're most proud of that you achieved at Prescott South, or maybe that your students were able to achieve?
I'm really proud of the focus. We've been working with academic coaches with the county, and the teachers have embraced the PLC concept that the county has introduced. Our data shows growth in the tested areas. We're still waiting on second grade reading. But all the data that I've looked at is moving in the right direction. And it takes a lot of work on a teacher's part, on a student's part, on the family's part, a lot of partnerships, a lot of conversations. And I think the family support has been amazing. Everybody wants the best scenario for their child, and that's what we want as well. You know, we're professionals, and this is what we do for a living.
Yeah.
But the goal is for the child to have a great education so that they can choose a career they want to pursue, and then they have the skill set to go do that.
And I know test scores are so important, and when you see growth and improvement there, obviously that is something that you can celebrate, and you celebrate with your staff. And there's, like you said, there's so many things that go into that, so many different moving pieces and parts. Last week we had a couple of tutors from Putnam County in there, and the tutoring process, obviously that is huge, especially from a principal perspective.
Sure. The tutors at Prescott were phenomenal. They were so, like, I would check on them to see how I could support them, and they bragged on the kids, and the teachers bragged on the tutors, and the tutors bragged on the teachers. So it's so nice to live in a positive, reciprocal environment where everybody's supporting everybody and you have the same goal in mind. And I think the kids looked forward to the tutoring. I think they liked the extra dose of information they were getting. It helped build their confidence. And so I'm thrilled with the tutoring program. I think Rachel and Jason Stickler have done an amazing job with that program.
Now, about how many students do you have at Prescott South Elementary?
Depends on the time of year, between 550 and 600.
Yeah.
And it's grown, and it's backed off, and then it'll grow again. And so when we register, we'll know. I look forward to that number because it helps us make placement decisions and all those types of things.
Is there any expectation? Is there like a number that you would like to see that you have, or, you know, when you get to a certain number, like, oh, I feel like we need more students?
I don't know that I've ever wished for more, just because I feel like numbers kind of give you the guidelines for the individual attention a child can have. So I think between 15 and 20 students in a class is a great number if you have one teacher in the classroom. If you're team teaching, sometimes some kiddos may require a little extra one-on-one, and so those numbers may, you know, be a little bit higher. But team teaching usually requires a different scenario of some sort. I feel like our ratios have been pretty good the past few years, but I do remember some years where they were getting a little high, and it can cause, I'll say, some group dynamic changes that can be challenging for the students and for the teacher. But for the most part, everything is, once you have structures in place, then it tends to flow very well.
Yeah. So, well, I know one of the accomplishments for your school last year was that for the second time you were a STEM designation school, and that's obviously something that you're very proud of.
Sure.
And for it to happen not just once but twice, you know, there's only a handful of schools in the state that were able to do that.
We were fortunate to be part of some grant work in 2012. Mm-hmm. It was a partnership that was with Race at the Top, First at the Top Grants, mm-hmm. and Battelle. And we received a partnership with Prescott Middle and Tennessee Tech. Mm-hmm. And those were called STEM Platform Schools. So we did some research for them and worked with Dr. Sally Pardue at the time,
yeah.
and had that grant for a couple of years. And then the state transitioned to designated schools after that. What they were trying to do was there was an Ohio STEM Learning Network.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to see if they could replicate that in a different state. And so we were the fortunate recipients of that, and it has been replicated, and TSIN has grown leaps and bounds. It's a phenomenal organization, offers a lot of opportunities for educators.
Now, is that something that you can, you know, brag to your parents about, or do you get a banner to put in the school? I mean,
yes,
do you get a big
yes.
check? Do you get a vacation? What do you get when you're designated STEM school?
So I think ultimately the goal is higher achievement for the students,
yeah.
more opportunities. You do get a banner, and there's criteria, there's a rubric, and mm-hmm. so you have to meet a minimum score on the rubric. And I think we've continued those practices because they do benefit students. We have a pipeline at Prescott where Prescott Middle is also a designated school. They'll apply for redesignation this year.
Right.
And so it's nice to have that pipeline, and then that pipeline goes to Cookeville High School. I do think STEM practices are becoming more common in all schools because the world is just changing. You know, technology, coding, engineering mindset,
yeah.
lots of things have become much more common that we just weren't aware. I mean, I've been a professional for a long time now, and I think back to when I went through school and what was offered and all the positive changes that have happened. And it's fun to watch
yeah.
the progression.
And it's starting at such an earlier age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
For
yes.
sure. All right. Well, I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters, and we are talking with Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary. And this is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest this week is Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary. We've been talking about the summer that she's been having and kind of a great school year that they had last year, but we kind of want to talk a little bit about Dr. Jones personally. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Houston, Texas, but I moved to Cookeville when I was 6 months old. Both my parents worked for Tennessee Tech,
uh-huh.
And then I went to Tech Campus until second grade, and then third through 12th, our Putnam County school system.
Is that
graduated
right?
Graduated from Cookeville High School, went to Tennessee Tech, left town for a year, and then came back and have taught ever since.
Wow, so you're pretty much homegrown.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Now, your parents taught at Tennessee Tech?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. My dad was an administrator for the end of his career. My mom taught math, and then I have a bonus mom, and my bonus mom worked in purchasing, and so I've had a great family life in Cookeville.
Wow, that's great. And so mm-hmm. it was just kind of a natural for you to go to Tennessee Tech, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now what did you major at Tennessee Tech?
It took me a couple of years to find education, and once I found education, there was no going back.
Yeah.
So I was an elementary education major, and absolutely loved it. I remember my first, I took a 101 class with Danny Higdon, and we went on a field trip, and I came back and was talking with my dad about it, and I was like, this is a college major because this is my thing.
Yeah.
And he said, it is. I thought you might like it. So I'd used up all of my credits, you know, that are optional.
Yeah.
And finished my 101s, my 202s at the time, and then I loved elementary education. I always have.
So when you graduated from Tennessee Tech, then what happened next?
Didn't get a job my first year out of school.
Okay.
So I went and worked on a cruise ship for a year. I was pretty adventurous in my younger days. So I went and traveled for a year and came back and was granted a position under Dr. Sandy Kaswara at Parkview Elementary. And at that time, Parkview was a K-6 campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I taught fifth grade there, and then the county developed the fifth and sixth grade concept where I went to junior high was Prescott Central.
Right.
And so I opened that school and closed that school.
Is that right?
And then was granted the principal position at Prescott Elementary.
Okay.
When we transitioned.
Now, when you were in school, did you want to become an administrator, or did you want to teach? I mean, when did you kind of get the bug to be an administrator?
It's funny. I wanted to teach. I never thought I would go into administration when I was a teacher, but I had a coworker who told me that I always had ideas, and I didn't realize that I always had ideas.
Yeah.
I just would I don't know. I guess I just verbalized ideas. And my husband worked nights, and so I had the opportunity to go back to school. And so I just kind of kept going back to school as a hobby, because I do like to learn, you know,
right.
I like education. And so I got a curriculum and instruction master's degree and then an admin EDS. And I had been on maternity leave, and a position opened up at Prescott Central.
Mm-hmm.
And so I expressed interest in that. And fortunately, I was granted the position. So I was an assistant principal there for 4 years after teaching there for several years. And then Prescott South was being built at that time. And when we were transitioning, I knew that the leadership wanted they were transitioning to new principals.
Sure.
And so I applied for those positions and crossed my fingers. But, I mean, I was going to get to teach otherwise, so it all worked out. So I've been very lucky. I got to open Prescott Elementary. And so it's been a fun ride.
So how long have you been at Prescott South?
14 years. This will be our 15th year as a campus. It seems like a new school.
Wow,
but this,
it does.
It's been in place for 14 years.
Really?
Tara Brooks is the third principal of that campus.
Yeah.
At Prescott Middle. And I've stayed put. I've been lucky so far.
Now, tell us about earning your doctorate. Where did that happen at?
Well, as I said, I like to learn.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of professional development within the county.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a lot of training through the Tennessee STEM Innovation Network. And I was just hungry for different information. And so I chose to go to Tennessee State University in Nashville. And it was phenomenal. I really needed, I would say, some outside influence. You know, I've lived in Cookeville my whole life.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult. I try to be as empathetic as I can, but some things you're just not exposed to. And going to TSU, I was exposed to a lot of – I learned a lot from my peers in class as much as I did from the classes I was taking. It
okay.
was really a great experience.
Yeah. And you're probably one of a handful of administrators in Putnam County that has a doctorate. What would you say to those other administrators? Do you feel like it's something that would help them in the long run, or is it just because you wanted to learn and that was just something you wanted to do?
Both. I think always if you want to do something, pursue it.
Yeah.
You know, I encourage growth and education for anyone. It's stated that it can't be taken away. But also, everything is an experience. And so it's a structured experience with expectations, and it kind of forces you to learn to do some things that you might not, you know, pressure yourself to do otherwise.
Right.
So I always keep a long-term goal kind of in the background, and so that was one of my long-term goals. My grandfather had a PhD, my dad had a doctorate, and my birth mom, was an all but dissertation. We moved to Cookeville, and she had never defended at University of Houston. And so
close.
She had the ability to teach all the
yeah.
classes at Tech,
right.
but she didn't ever finish. She had four children at the time,
yeah.
and she was like, you know, that summer just flew by, and then she never, and it didn't bother her that she didn't finish, but I just thought, I think I want to finish. And
yeah.
so that was kind of I didn't know that I would ever do it, but I did it, and on you go.
Yeah.
And it's another piece of, you know, in life, there are lots of things that you learn. So it's another thing I learned through.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I know we've talked about education, but I want to circle back around to this year you worked on a cruise ship. And I mean, how many people in the world even get to take a cruise, much less get to work a year on a cruise ship? What was that experience like?
It gave me a lot of appreciation for, I think I grew up a lot,
mm-hmm.
and there on cruise ships, there are some different rules. There, we don't have the labor laws that we have in the United States, and so a lot of long hours, a lot of customer service, a lot of learning, because I didn't have an education in the service industry.
Right.
I have, you know, just general from working jobs in Cookeville, you
yeah.
know, customer service type experience, but I learned a lot about the hotel industry and got to see a lot of things, which at the time, you know, you're in your 20s, you want to go. Yeah. So I did.
Now, what was the path of the ship? I mean, did you have a route?
We were based out of Montego Bay, Jamaica, and we did a trek in the Caribbean. We went through three locks of the Panama Canal. We went to Aruba. We went to Cartagena, South America, and circled back Curacao, and then circled back. And then at the end of that tour, a new season started. We did a trans canal and bounced up the West Coast and landed in Alaska. And I was in Alaska for 6 weeks, I think, and then returned home to try to apply for teaching positions and was fortunate to land a job. So it all worked out.
Well, how neat. Like I said, there's a lot of people that would never even have an opportunity to do that, but that sounds like that was great. And you probably had experiences. Do you ever share those experiences with any of your students or, you know, when it comes to geography and things like that?
I'm a pretty open-minded individual, and I really feel like we're all a product of, I would say, our family normal. Mm-hmm. And so I like being exposed to different cultures. I have appreciation for that. And in Cookeville, I think we do have a much more diverse population than when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. So it's important to recognize all that and appreciate it and build on the strengths of all the cultures.
All right, we're going to take a break. This is Local Matters. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we are talking with Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary. And this is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Our guest this week is the principal at Prescott South Elementary, Dr. Catherine Jones. And we have been talking about her background in education, her time on a cruise ship. But we also want to hear about her family. Tell us about your family.
Sure. I have been married to Steve Jones we're having our 27th anniversary this month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Steve works at Spanky's. He's pretty well known. It's funny. We tend to know two different crowds.
Yeah.
And so we met in college and were friends and then ended up dating and getting married. We've got two kiddos. Addison Jones is living in Pensacola, Florida. He is working for Pensacola Yacht Club as a professional sailor. He's running camps and teaching people to sail, kids and adults. And then my daughter, Coral Jones, graduated from Cookeville High School in May, and she is headed to UT this fall.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, we're empty nesters.
Yes. Well, you can do more sailing that way.
Yes, possibly. We shall see. Time will tell.
Now, you're getting ready for the 24-25 school year, and when you look at the school year ahead, is there anything that that you feel like that you are getting prepared for, preparing the teachers for, that maybe you haven't had to do before? Or is there any issues that you think might come up? Just kind of, you know, what's the mindset going into the school year?
I love the focus that the county has on achievement and growth.
Yeah.
So we're really spending time trying to professionally develop the teachers to teach, have effective lessons, and then to respond to what the students have learned effectively. Mm-hmm. The RTI process that the state has in place helps with that. The tutoring helps with that. Mm-hmm. The third grade promotion retention law is always a focus. Just those conversations need to take place. That's also continues into fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we're offering all we can to any students who are at risk. But that's true kindergarten through fourth grade.
Right.
All students have different needs, and everybody deserves to maximize what they're capable of doing. And so we really try to look at exposure in kindergarten and acceleration, and then offer as many opportunities as possible. And I think we really want to promote reading 20 minutes every day.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to say it's kind of like if you had a workout program and you say, I want to work out 7 days a week, and you only work out five. Well, working out 5 days a week is pretty impressive. Working out 3 days a week can be pretty impressive. Depends on who you are. So reading 20 minutes a night as often as possible for fun, you know, not for forced family fun, but for real fun. Like if they like to mountain bike, then read about mountain biking. Yeah. If you like to sail, read about sailing. If you like fiction, read about fiction, you know, pick out your favorite fiction book and go through that series. But the reading has really become a fundamental skill that tends to help all other skills, you know. So I think focusing on reading and understanding, I think we have good systems in place, but it's an area for continuous improvement.
Yeah.
So, and then the math also. You know, those are just important skills to have in life.
Right. Well, there's been some changes in other elementary schools in mm-hmm. the county, and I know there's been a ripple effect as far as personnel goes and that kind of thing. Have you had to hire anybody new, or have you had to hire new teachers? Have you had any, you know, much turnover?
We have some new teachers, which we're excited about. We have some administrative changes this year. Dr. Stephanie Hudson has been the assistant principal for 10 years.
Right.
She has moved to Northeast Elementary.
Okay.
And Sarah Harvick is coming to join us. Sarah is having a baby very soon.
Yes.
And so we have pulled Dr. Kim Wright out of retirement, and she's going to come. She's my past principal, so
yeah.
It's nice to work with her again. I look forward to it. So she is going to join us for the first 9 weeks. And so it'll be a fresh start. You know, we'll try to do all we can. And everybody's got experience, so it's nice. And, because Northeast is a sister school, we'll
yes.
still be working with Dr. Hudson, so that's nice. So lots to look forward to this year.
Now, how important is the role of the assistant principal to a principal?
Oh, it's really important. Dr. Hudson and I have worked very well together for the past 10 years, and it's really a support and then a knowledge base, mm-hmm. and then I look forward to learning from the assistant principal because you have different viewpoints, so it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of or to provide feedback with all kinds of things, or if you don't, like sometimes I think I understand something or I think I'm on the right track, but just having someone to confirm that with, mm-hmm. you know, professionally, it's phenomenal. And then a lot of times parents need to meet with someone and maybe I'm not available because
right.
my schedule's booked. So an assistant principal has the power to, you know, make all those types of decisions. Dr. Wright has a long career in education. I look forward to working with her. She's going to help just, you know, with some of the walkthroughs, some of the evaluations,
yeah.
and then she's just a positive influence. The same with Sarah Harvick. She's going to be phenomenal. We've worked together quite a bit this summer trying to get everything lined up.
Yeah.
And so it's on we go. It's their change. And then we have new faces, you know, new teachers on campus, some experienced teachers moving to town, and
right.
then some new, you know, graduates from Tech. So excited for all the new faces.
Yeah. Well, a couple of issues that I'm sure that is always there as far as elementary schools go, and one is attendance
mm-hmm.
and encouraging, you know, parents to make sure that their, you know, mm-hmm. students are there. Just talk a little bit about how important attendance is and, you know, just, you know, you can't learn if you're not there.
It's true. We can't teach you when you're not present. I start every single day saying that we are so glad that you are here today. And I mean that when I say it on the intercom every single morning, because if students aren't present, it affects them in multiple ways. One is when they return, they feel a little overwhelmed
yeah.
because they're a little bit behind. They weren't exposed to everything that the mm-hmm. other students have been. While they're away, their friends are playing with other friends and they're building relationships. So it can hurt those relationships. You don't want that to occur. Then it can create academic gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are times in life when a child is sick.
Yeah.
You know, there are times you have a fever, you're throwing up, you're not able to come to school. That's what those excused and unexcused absences are for,
right.
or when you are sick.
Yeah.
And some students have more illness than others. All that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an optional day to miss, we really encourage students to be at school as many days as possible to build their education, because the consequences really show up in later years. And these days, we've had to retain some students just because they haven't received enough instruction
yeah.
to master the skills to move to the next grade. So attendance matters. You know, it's a big deal.
Right.
And we sure appreciate all the efforts, because it takes a lot to get up and get ready and get your kids to school.
Yeah.
We understand that, or get them on the bus, or, you know, all the things, lots of carpools
yeah.
and all those kinds of things. So we sure appreciate it.
And another issue I would think is discipline. You know, mm-hmm. that's something that you probably have to deal with on a regular basis. How do you deal with discipline at the elementary level? Because I'm sure it's different than the middle school and the high school.
Yeah, we're very restorative in nature in elementary. I think that's true in middle and high school as well. If someone is struggling behaviorally, be it a child or an adult, there's a reason for that. And
mm-hmm.
so you really need to find out the why and see if you can fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe you can't punish misbehavior out of a child. You need to restore positive choices within the child. And We do all we can. We have a lot of community resources. We're very fortunate in Putnam County. Mm-hmm. And so we do all we can to support the kiddos and give them the skill set they need. Sometimes it's communication skills. Sometimes they need food or clothing or rest, mm-hmm. Extra love. And so the first 4.5 weeks, we kind of, if students are new to the community, then we kind of get to know their story,
yeah,
and help them all we can. But we have a lot of teachers are the nicest, elementary teachers, and I'm going to say K-12 teachers because both of my kids have gone through the system, but they are the nicest, kindest people with positive intentions.
Yeah.
And so we really make sure that the kids are getting the love they need, you know, in the classroom. Safe space at school every day.
Yeah.
Food, clothing, sometimes shorts, sometimes jackets, depends on, you know, what you need.
Right.
We have a phenomenal nurse, Dawn Smith. And our faculty and staff are really great. So we're fortunate.
And, you know, you start seeing anxiety in students even at the elementary age. And some of it is from the testing that comes, the third grade retention law, the, you know, you have to pass TCAP, you have to do this, the emphasis on this and that. And as a principal at an elementary school where, you know, third and fourth grade, those are two pivotal grades there when it comes to the retention law and advancing and those kind of things. Do you see that among your third and fourth graders, and or do you tell your teachers, hey, be aware of, you know, just what these kids are going through?
I think we try to do all we can to alleviate the stress and anxiety, but also those are normal emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us have taken tests where we've had to be stressed.
Yeah.
And so learning that stress is normal and there's going to be a level of it and then how to deal with it and then realizing, hey, I did it and look what I did. And then having more of those experiences. I mean, I remember in third and fourth grade doing 4-H speeches and being so nervous in front,
yeah,
of a class of kids. And then as my life continued, I would get in front of groups of adults and, you know, it led me to be a principal, but there was a day where I was couldn't eat breakfast because I was so nervous to,
yeah,
give a speech in an elementary grade.
Right.
So I think recognizing those as normal emotions, mm-hmm, and then really, I would say, celebrating what we do when we overcome some of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have phenomenal counselors in place. The teachers help, And then also, I have to say, you started off with something that triggered this, but really limiting screen time.
Yeah.
We are surrounded by electronics these days,
yes,
as adults and as children, and having a lot of human interaction and having your emotional bucket full and not relying on – we're seeing an epidemic of an inability to pay attention for a long period of time.
Right.
And so experiences that do – force you to pay attention non-electronically.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a concert, it might be a conversation, it might be a class, but all those types of experiences are great because life has electronics and then life has situations where electronics are not an option.
Right.
So we want to encourage all of it, well-rounded, you know, well-rounded life.
Well, I can tell that you're excited about the upcoming school year. I'm sure when it gets going, you'll be glad to see your students. The teachers will be back in, and if you had one particular goal for Prescott South Elementary this year, what would that be?
I think our goal is for everybody to have a positive experience at Prescott.
Yeah,
like we want everybody to be glad they're a part of the school and to feel like they've done their best and we've done our best and to leave the year saying, "Man, I'm so glad I'm part of that school."
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Catherine Jones, the principal at Prescott South Elementary. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.